Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and you're all very welcome to the, what's it called again?
The Tommy and
Hector Show with Larita Blewett, with me, Tommy Tiernan, him, Hector, and her, Larita.
Hi.
I'm noticing a bit of tension with you this morning, Hector.
Every time I touch my phone, he gives me the eyes.
No, it's not that. Am
I jittery?
No, you're carrying tension.
I got to bed late last night.
I knew it.
I didn't get my normal sleep last night.
What's your normal like?
I don't know. I got to bed. It was 12:30. It was 1 o'clock before we
closed eyes and stopped moving.
I was above in Westport. We had a challenge match in Westport.
Yeah.
And
I don't think the late night suits you, to be honest. Just looking at you now. Do you, Larita?
No, I got what you meant there. He was a bit.
I had a busy day yesterday.
You know, he's sitting down, he's standing up.
He was full of. If he was a ditch, he'd be full of briars. When normally he'd be full of flowers.
Thistles
in him, yeah. Mm.
I have one morning like this a week where it's just a little bit. See my fingers going.
Did you have coffee now before you've had this cup of coffee? Have you had a previous coffee?
How did you know that?
See, you're like
Tommy, tell them about the coffee situation. When we were on iRadio way back in the day with Larita, me and Tommy, before we get to the station, we'd always have a coffee. And before we get to any station, we'd have a coffee. Then we'd be in the station 3 hours and we'd go for another coffee.
But see, you have a more sensitive instrument than I have. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could take pints of coffee. I've often been known to buy a treble espresso, not a treble, and get into the car and fall asleep. So I'm used to that. But your body is so sensitive. But you can't even.
Can you feel it off me there?
Yeah, you're
the vibes off you.
You're like you've been put in a box of Andrews or something.
You're like a fella that's annoyed.
Now you have me annoyed for the whole podcast.
We should put a heart rate on. Do you want to put my Fitbit on? We'll check your heart rate.
This is anger. This is mead anger there. Just ruining him.
Did you lose the match last night?
No, we beat Westport in the challenge under 16A. But we didn't. I'll tell you what happened. One of the lads got a bit of a right near the end, and he got a belt into the head. And it was a fair clatter because after the team talk, we took off the jerseys, had the chat, the boys did well. He doesn't remember any of that. So we were sitting, about to get into the car, and then we rang a doctor in Westport. And he came down, we met him at the petrol station, and we stayed with, obviously, two carloads of lads. And he's fine. But then the boys were looking for Supermax. So the problem is with Supermax, Headford closes at 10 o'clock. Ballinrobe closed at 10 o'clock and we were coming over the mountain near Parthrie and it was 10 to 10 and I have some hungry testosterone filled 16 year olds in the car going, we need Supermax.
Ballinrobe?
So I was in Supermax at 10:30, 10:45 last night in Ballinrobe, standing on a wall outside at Jono's pub. I got home late. It was a long day and I got my tap fixed yesterday morning. The plumber fixed it, but then he wired the things wrong. So instead of having the filter tap where you drink filtered water, the hot water was coming out of that, right? The cold water was coming out where the hot water was supposed to come out of. It was all wrong. And he'd done a great job, I thought. And then he wouldn't answer his phone. He left the house. So what you do with a new tap, you go up to try and turn it on and go, look at this lovely new tap. And Shane, the youngest lad, goes, where's the drinking water? And then he tried to drink the water. It was boiling hot.
From the filter.
Disaster.
So it was a bad old day yesterday, but.
Well, we're feeling that.
We're feeling it, Hector.
Yeah, we're getting every bit of it.
And you're late to bed.
Late to bed.
And too much coffee already this morning. Yeah. And it's only early.
And the mother-in-law staying with me as well.
Jesus.
The troubles and the weather was
And I had to drive from Clare Galway this morning. I left Clare Galway at 7. I got to Barna at about 9:45.
Right.
Traffic was bad, shitty rain, wipers on full blast.
What can we do to heal you?
There was no milk in the fridge this morning either.
Jesus.
I went up to Super Value. We had no grapes for me porridge. We had no honey for
grapes,
me porridge.
Grapes in the porridge.
No, no, we need to revisit that now. Whoa. You can't. Grapes are for eating on their own or with cheese, Max.
What's you hear? Grapes are for eating with cheese. You're from Mayo.
You don't put grapes
in porridge.
In porridge.
Yes, you do.
No,
oh, you
yes,
don't.
You
no,
that's like putting a glass of wine into it. You should just put a glass of wine into your porridge. Maybe if you did this morning, you Hector.
There was nothing in the house this morning. Then I know the boys will wake up at 11. My lads will wake up at 11. It'll go down like two hungry hyenas. They'll open the press and they'll just look into the press where the bread is supposed to be. And they'll go, and I'll say, there's cornflakes up there. There's porridge up there. There's Weetabix up there. And they'll go, so I went up this morning and I got a load of stuff. I was in the Super Value at 8:30. Do you want to see the people with masks on in Super Value at 8:30?
I'm worried about you.
So it's a long morning so far.
Did you get the grapes or had you eaten the breakfast?
Drinking Tommy Tiernan tar coffee.
Strong coffee.
Take that away.
We should have insisted he have tea.
Too strong for you.
I wouldn't get a buzz off that. That's like six vodkas and two Red Bulls.
Strong.
Remember when we used to do the show and he'd have a load of coffee and the next thing he'd be just like... Turn off our microphones.
I don't know what it is. I'll probably have to go to the toilet now. It's because I find it a very strong laxative. Do you ever? At 10:30 every morning, religious for me, I go into the utility in my house. The utility.
Right.
And there's a load of coats on the back of the door. I can hardly get in with coats. There's coats there I haven't worn in 40.
And you sit on the bowl and hold on to the coats.
Door closed because there's no key.
No lock.
And you know what? I just go in there. There's no pictures on the walls. It's tiny.
Is there any ventilation?
There's a window, but there's about six clothes horses, 14 pairs of boots, 600 O'Neill size fives. There's rubbish and old Hurleys and everything in the utility toilet. And I'd be sandwiched in there and I just go, and I can hear someone in the kitchen going, I'm in here, by the way. Just and then I have to look for the links deodorant.
I remember
there's no links here, lads.
I remember
fumigate.
But I remember visiting your house as a teenager, and none of your toilets had locks on the door. And I'd often be wandering out from the kitchen and hear your mother shouting out, "I'm in here, by the way."
Just let anybody who's passing know that I'm in here, by the way.
I don't know if it's a Hokkaido Kyogen thing or a hook.
That I'm in here, by the way.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Thinking of stories of Navan, some of my dreams bring me back to Navan, but it brings me back to the house I used to live in, which is a bungalow outside, about 2 miles out the Atboy Road near the school. And I've told some stories about it before, but it was just a normal 70s bungalow, but we had one toilet and one bath. We had no shower. And it reminds me of the good old days.
Nobody had showers back then.
Nobody had showers. This Triton TS90, there was none of that invented.
The idea of cleaning yourself standing up just hadn't reached me.
I think we only washed once a week as well.
What we did have...
But I remember as well, like just in terms of the whole cleanliness thing, I remember we'd have double PE first thing on a Monday morning. And do you think you'd have a shower afterwards? You would just bet with sweat for the rest of the day.
Straight into a class afterwards. Yeah. And the sweat.
And the geography.
And then the sun would beat in the window and there'd be a lad beside you from the country and the smell would be you off his Fair Isle jumper.
Yeah, there was always one lad that was just a little bit
just didn't
smellier.
Get it.
Yeah. B.O. But the bat, I remember we got fancy. We did have the rubber thing that you jammed up on the two pipes, and it was a rubber type of little shower.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
yeah,
that?
It was a
mold. Do you remember that? We all had it back.
You put it on the taps.
Like a yoke
you'd put on a beige after and her after calving.
Exactly. Almost like a milking machine type thing. But anyway, so the whole tradition in our family was there was only one bath once a week. And we all used the same water on a Saturday, the lads.
You all got into the one bath?
Well, no, the boys. Now, this is the boys' bath will be a Saturday. This is a ritual in my house on a Saturday. We would all have a bath on a Saturday evening, me and my two brothers. But we would use the same bath water.
Right.
And then on certain occasions, if we were small enough, we'd all get in the bath together.
Right, yeah.
And I was 13, my brother was 15.
I'm in here just to let you know. Oh, well, I'm coming in now. I'm in here, by the way.
So
we're all in the baths, by the way. And we're all in here now. So
So at one stage, Freddie, my older brother, would always decide who gets into what part of the bat. Because he'd say, I'm getting in the back where I can slide down at the back. Yeah. My little brother, would get in the middle. And then, no, I'd get in the middle sometimes. And then I'd say, Mark, you're the smallest. We'll jam you up against the hot tap.
The worst part.
So the three of us would be in the back. But anyway, we'd wash ourselves and clean ourselves in the water. And it was Saturday around 8 o'clock. Always on a Saturday evening. And we'd get out and we'd have our towel, one or two towels. Maybe share a towel. No, I didn't. We had three towels. And then we'd make our way down to the fire in the sort of kitchen TV room because the sitting room was a good room. There's no fire in there.
Right.
No. And then the 9 o'clock news would be on.
It was freezing in the good room, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
The radiators.
The sitting room was never used, really, was it? Really? No. The good room.
Hang slabs of meat or...
They'd never put on the heating
the
in the good room.
Turkey could be left there for Christmas.
And the curtain, close the curtains in the good room there. And you go in, it'd be fusty. Going, when are we ever in this room?
And the net curtains.
So we'd dry ourselves off at the fire in the little sort of TV come kitchen area. And we'd be naked, bollock naked, drying ourselves off. And by the time we'd be dry, Dallas would come on the telly then around 9:30. And then I always remember drying myself out and watching Dallas and half naked. And I thought it was a great time of the year. Great time.
And how old would you have been now?
12 or 13.
12 or 13, jeez. And wasn't your mammy great for letting the three of you traipse around the house in your nip and you're not like four or five?
We were 4 or 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 10 and 11 and 12. But it was just us. I don't know if after about 15 or 16, we stopped doing it.
You were very old.
and Sue Ellen would come out in Dallas and Lucy. And I just thought it was a great time to be drying myself and those traditions. But
that was a great time to be drying yourself. That's what you just said.
Sue Ellen would come on.
But it was great sharing a bath on a Saturday night. The simple things. And now when I say to people, will you have a bath? You almost look at you going, bath? I'll have a shower.
Hang on.
You would say to people, would you have a bath?
Well, like, my kids.
So somebody might call to the house.
And John, we have a cup of tea.
And the two of you are in the kitchen. And after an hour and a half, there's nothing happening. And you just go, would you have a bath? And you go, what?
Can you imagine?
Come on, the two of us. No. I'll get up in the taps. I'll take the taps.
Can you imagine if you said to somebody,
well, I'll give you two towels.
You can slide down.
Well, Therese, how are you keeping? Would you like a bath? And then we used to get a spoon of this vitamin thing. I don't know where my mother got it, but it was called radio emulsion.
I don't think it was for...
I'm not joking you. We used to line up half naked with the towels.
At night time.
No, I'm watching Dallas half naked.
Radio emulsion.
We'd
line up like we're queuing for communion.
I think that's paint. A paint colour.
What's it called again? Radio emulsion. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. Was that ever a thing?
Was it luminous?
It was luminous yellow stuff in a big bottle. It was like a 6 litre bottle. And we'd line up. My mother would say, open up. And we have naked with the towel watching Dallas.
Was it like castor oil kind of stuff?
That was my vitamins for the week.
And what effect did it have on
you? I don't know. We used to just take it.
At night time, radio emulsion.
I swear to God, that was the name of it. It was yellow syrup.
I have to check if that's real.
Trina, the mother, open up. A big double teaspoon
in. What flavour was it?
It was a yellowy, really
like
citrusy taste.
Radio was it called? Definitely.
Radio emulsion. Please, somebody, somewhere, help me with this. Big, big brown bottle like you'd see in an old style. And that was our
laboratory.
It's
for cattle.
But look at how far ahead of our time was my mother giving us these vitamins back in the late 70s. And coming out of the bath on a Saturday night, you get your vitamins like dosing cattle.
It sounds like the stuff you get off a vet now as opposed to a chemist.
Oh, man.
Or the chemist made it up himself.
Yeah. Okay, line up the three of us. Oh, man, it was great days. But I love those memories. I love those memories.
I find myself, I love looking back at photographs from the 70s and the 80s. And even the 50s and 60s. And I kind of wish I was back there.
Real simple times, like.
I love the suits. Men would just wear suits. Like
all the time.
Baggy old suits. And they'd have the hair be short at the sides and it could go kind of long at the top and kind of float away left or right, whichever way it wanted to. And if you wanted to go somewhere, you'd go on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah. It just, things were kind of simple, and not that life was easy, but there was just a kind of a nice rhythm to it. You had a car, but you had, there was no entertainment. There was no kind of, now there weren't the same type of distractions. And I look back at photos of that time and go, fuck, I'd love to.
And people used to make putching and...
Oh, yeah. And you'd have the car, but you'd only go for a drive once a week.
Yeah.
Maybe Sunday afternoon.
To drive the wife to the psychiatric hospital or something.
I'm going out of my fucking mind! Get her into the car!
Time to go.
Okay, ma'am. No,
I don't want to go back to that place! This is a scary place! I am not a helicopter!
Mullingar, is for you, mum.
Tie her down, boys. Tie her down. Get your hands off me, John Finnegan. Get your hands off me.
Mullingar, lads.
Driving ma'am to Mullingar on a Sunday. And you'd leave her there for a couple of weeks and then pick her up.
On a Sunday again.
And she wouldn't say a word.
The photos.
She'd be so doped out of it on the drive home, just looking out the window.
I have a question for you about pets. So you've a dog, we know, you've a dog, cat.
And a chicken. We had used to have lots of other chickens, but a mink. At two of them. Two of them died from old age, and one of them died a mystery. We don't know how.
But you wouldn't call a chicken a pet chicken. Like, you wouldn't call it one of your pets. Like, it'd just be a chicken is there for you to get eggs from and possibly make soup out of. Or
I don't think it's right we have chickens. I think the chickens, when the whole reason for getting chickens is to have them in the yard. Do you know what I mean? Where they're running around. But ours are in a coop. But even it's a fair enough foul coop, but it's not right there kept in it. They should have the freedom of the countryside.
Are they cooped up in it?
They'll be eaten though if they're
litter. Would they though? I don't think they would.
Yeah.
Not during the day. A fox doesn't go eating chickens during the day.
The only
fox that goes after a chicken during the day is a sick fox. You all know that, don't you? Don't you all know that?
A diseased fox.
No.
Foxes lie low during the day for their own reasons. And you'd only see a fox during the day if he was not well.
Right.
So if you see a fox traipsing into your garden at 2:30 in the afternoon on a hot summer's day, he's not right and he's not long for this world. So you can leave your chickens.
You wouldn't eat the chicken anyway then.
Wouldn't eat the chicken at all, no.
So, but you can let the chickens out the back garden here, so why don't
I haven't heard chickens or seen them here in the last couple of weeks. Where are they?
Why do you think this room is called the hen house?
But where are
they? But there's no chickens here.
Because just up out the door, I'll show it to you.
But why don't we hear them clucking or nothing?
There's only one left and he's not allowed out because Yvonne doesn't want them.
Was he watching telly?
Yvonne's my wife.
Yvonne is my wife.
Wait, where is he? Watching Dr. Phil or something? No, where is the chicken?
He's in the coop.
Is it a hen or is it a chicken? Is it a cock?
You couldn't have a cock in it. It's a hen.
You have a hen.
Cocks don't lay eggs.
No, but it's a hen. He has a hen here. We've never heard a hen.
No.
We've never seen sight nor sound of it.
Fictitious.
It's not right that we have the hen, as I'm telling you. I've been in houses where hens are given the freedom of the yard, and it's nice, and there maybe a few geese as well, and an odd duck, just to confuse everybody.
Do the dogs like them?
The dogs haven't seen them because they're locked up.
Ah, you need to get them more interacting.
You need to talk to my wife.
My problem is people that have hamsters, giblets or whatever you call them, gerbils.
Giblets is a bit of a chicken.
Yeah, sorry. What?
I used to work in Supermax years ago.
Supermax?
Yeah, my job was to, before the chicken was fried, was to stick me thumb in and to flick the giblets out. I was the...
You were the giblet flicker.
Giblet flicker. Yeah.
Was that in Navan?
No, this is in Galway, and it said it on. I had a name tag. It said it Tommy Tiernan, legend. It said giblet flicker.
What is Galway?
Giblet flicker.
The giblets is it? Some people like the giblets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
you make jewellery out of them in Mali in Africa. You see the women.
What are you talking about?
With long
giblet jewellery
of blood string going down, and then two giblets hanging off it.
Yeah, Hector brought back that present for his wife when he came back from somewhere.
Oh no, you hate hamsters.
No, I just think they're pointless. There's pets like dogs that you can have a relationship with, or, you know, like a friendly relationship with.
Yeah.
You can have like a lamb, a pet lamb. You can
not for long.
No, but you can have things that give you back affection, like
a lamb. Can it?
You know, it'll come to you and it'll let you rub it, and you know, if it's a pet or a dog, it'll be nice to you and it'll come and comfort you.
And when a lamb grows up and becomes a sheep, does he just forget about you?
No.
Sheep would remember you
if you kept her, like.
Yeah.
But generally,
and would come over and look for the rub.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But like gerbils or hamsters, they don't have any affection. They don't have any, do they? Like, why? They're just in a cage.
Or a pet rabbit.
Rabbits, yes. Things like
this. Python.
Goldfish I don't mind because they're small and they look nice and you can feed them. And they're not great, like. They're on the border of being pointless.
They don't do much.
You could make jewellery as well. What you could do is you could get earrings.
With the what?
You could get earrings, yeah. And from the bottom of the ring, hang a small enough bowl of water. And in the bowl of water, put tiny little fish in them. And people would go, oh, I love your goldfish earrings. And the fish would be swimming around all
they'd
evening.
They'd be interesting.
And then you come home of an evening and then pour the two little boys back into the big aquarium you have.
Well, we'll have to get them for your ears because I've never had my ears pierced. So I don't.
Really?
You've never?
Never.
Ever?
No. I have this phobia that if I pierced my ears, they'd just suddenly prick out.
Can I just see your ear there?
How do you mean prick
you've
out?
You've never, ever.
I have normal enough ears, like.
So do you wear clip-on earrings?
No, I never wear anything in my ears.
What
ever.
Do you mean prick out?
I just feel like my ears would just like suddenly pop out and become more
pop out?
Prominent. I don't know. I just think that they'd become...
Oh, you mean so that your ears are fairly streamlined into the side of your head and you'd be afraid that, like opening the shutters of a window, that they'd all turn and your ears would be at a right angle to your head.
Yes, and they'd look... Gammy.
Oh, here's your one with the ears, like.
Yeah.
And is your sister her ears pierced?
Yeah, everyone has.
And your mum?
Yeah, they all
and
have
cousins,
ears pierced.
And nephews.
Yeah.
Well, nephews, nieces.
No, mostly. Yeah, my niece got her pierced for her.
I'd
mean
nipple
communion.
Pierced once.
Why?
Why? I was part of a mad sex thing I was into at the time.
You only got one of them pierced.
You only got the two of them pierced.
You drove a. Did you drive a bar into?
Well, I drove a bar into my nipple. I
did
swear
you do it yourself?
No, I did not. I went to Metamorphosis up in Dublin where they do the drilling. It was unbelievable, the pain of it.
What kind of sex would that entail?
Top of the nipple.
It was just the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my life. It was like it was that painful I left my body and I turned into pure music. I became a note. That's how I
what
was.
What did he say to you? Did he say big deep breath?
He's going from South Africa. He said, oh, Lord.
Where is he from? Where is he from?
He's from South Africa. And it is a totally clear South African accent. He said, that guy, did Lord out of the bid and I've got to do it for you now.
Sounds like and he's from Zimbabwe.
Did he give you any anesthetic?
Now, come on. Are we going to be... You're not going to be calling me up on
Zimbabwe. I'll read it. Don't
on
be
Zimbabwe.
On about accents.
For Jesus' sake.
Listen, don't be on about accents here. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you. Oh, what about the other day in the car when I got him? You tell that story.
Are we getting that regional now?
No, go on.
So he said to me, Laden and your thought, and I'm going to do it now. And I swear to Jesus, pure pain.
Big side, you had to lie on your side.
Laden your thought, and I'm going to do it for you now. The pain, I turned into a note you'd hear coming out of a saxophone. And I just... And he said, I'd never experienced anything as painful in my life. Not even being born. Like, being born was rough enough. Like, I didn't think I was going to make it. But I just stuck the head down and I just went for it.
And did it
bleed? But this was just... Oh, my God, the pain of it. And then he said to me, right, now I'm going to put the bar through.
I said, whoa, 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 what have you just... That was just a clamp. Oh. That was just a clamp going on.
Poor old nipple never
and
deserved anything like that.
He drove a bar through it and it was very sore.
I remember
did
that.
He give you any anaesthetic or a bit
no,
of a
he did
ripe
not.
Or a bit of a thing?
Did he shave off the hair around your nipple?
Nothing, just drove it through. And so it's supposed to be kind of ridey, you know. You'd be kind of put your mouth in that and go on, suck
flick,
it, suck
flick
it.
That, you giblet.
Flick that, flick our giblets.
Get a load of that there, me bar, nipple bar.
Oh, but
do some press ups on me nipple. Do some pull ups off me nipple bar.
I had to get. I had young children at the time, right? And you couldn't. You'd be holding them. And they'd just be banging. you'd be shifting them from one hip to the other. And go,
I can feel it now.
Oh.
And like, so it was more punched than sucked.
Which one did you get done, left or right?
It was punched? The left nipple.
What?
It was more punched by the children than sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he
wiping it down after. There you go. Oh,
I ended
man.
Up getting...
Did it get stuck in things? Or?
No, but my nipple is still warped.
His nipple never recovered.
It's inverted now.
No, it's not just warped.
It's a lopsided nipple he has on the left side.
Like sometimes I'd be going to the doctor for a check, you know? She'd be trying to find me heart.
What's me?
And I'd see her looking at her and she's thinking to herself, should I bring this up now or not? But that's an awful
deformed
looking nipple that man has. And I said, I had it pierced when he was younger.
Lopsided nipple, it's called. Lopsided
for sucking during the ride.
But so we're back to our
Oh, the gerbil, was it?
The gerbil.
Stupid
the
animals that yeah. are pets. That you can't really, you shouldn't really classify, like, having a snake does not, like.
Tell you a funny story.
A snake, a pet snake, my get
son,
lost.
My son has moved in.
Moved in?
Moved in with a
snake.
He's moved in with the lad who works in the college. The fella, he works with reptiles. And as part of his gig, he took a snake home and he said to my son, look, you can move into the house if you want, but just let you know that I have a snake in the room. And it won't escape. But now my son is, he hates snakes.
Oh, like me too.
He absolutely.
I would say no to that.
And I was saying to him, you know, like what would happen if you saw the snake? Like if the snake got out of the bedroom.
Downstairs, having a bowl of scum.
I'd just run out of the house.
On right. a Saturday morning.
Oh.
You'd say.
I'd just run and right. run and run until I got somewhere safe.
Imagine knowing there's a snake in a bedroom. You could get out anywhere.
My son said that you know, he's not a violent person, but he says he knows. If he's on the snake, he picks something up and just fucking bait it.
Which was? Kill it.
He just gets something and he bait it to death. Like, he wouldn't be able to control himself.
Oh.
kill.
Imagine
being the snake just standing there on the landing and they're getting bent to death for no reason. Oh,
oh, geez, I lived in that.
I just want to let you know I have a snake in my room. Oh, no, but that would be a nightmare. You're 4 o'clock in the morning.
Snake,
imagine going out.
Mice.
Somebody turn off Spiders. The light on the landing. I will not. Somebody left the immersion on. I'm not. Imagine, oh man.
Yeah, but this young fella, I think, works with reptiles. So it's his. And this fella can grow to 18 or 27 foot long as an adult. But at the moment, he's just a baby. But so your man can keep him in the house.
He has one of them infrared lights in a tank in his room. They're those reptilian people.
Tarantulas as well, another thing. What's the point in having a big, hairy spider in your
pants?
But I have this thing. I used to get really bad sinus infections all the time. After I got my tonsils out, I developed having pretty bad sinusitis, they call it. And I started putting this nasal spray up, like Sudafed or sinus spray or whatever it's called.
Radio emulsion.
Yeah. I must see if they have that in nose spray.
Sinus spray.
And, but I started using it and then somebody says to me, oh, don't use that any more than a few days because if you use it, you'll just have to keep using it.
You'll get addicted to it.
I'm addicted to it, but not in a good way.
Is it
like,
Vicks?
It doesn't
Is it
do
strong?
Any...
Is it like Vicks?
So, like, I have to have a bottle under my pillow at night.
What?
Because I'll wake up, my nose will be completely blocked and I can't sleep then when my nose is blocked.
No.
And then, like, maybe in an hour's time, my nose will just start getting completely blocked again.
Is this a summertime thing or what?
No, it's... I've now been using it for about a year.
Many bottles will you go through in a year?
I look like some sort of a... the side of my bed, there's like 4 or 5 bottles, you know, there. Like, just, I have to have one in my bag. I have to have one in my jacket if I don't have my handbag with me. It's
wow.
like... I'm a... Yeah.
And if you left it alone, the nose would be blocked.
And then my eyes would start running and dry and sore.
And your forehead would crinkle.
And yeah, did you go to an ear, nose and throat specialist?
I did. And he stuck that camera up and he put me on...
Quiet on the set! We're going for this. Action!
Straight up the nostrils. And
what's that like? I've had a camera down my throat. Have you ever had a camera in your body, Tommy?
Yes, yes. Up and down.
I'm basically unfilmable.
You've never had a camera gun into you?
Never.
Upside and downside, the whole...
Yeah.
It's a bad job.
But women are more used to... The wife said to me that, like, I'm to go to the doctor to get this prostate thing.
Yes.
You know, and I won't be doing that.
Tommy.
I'd prefer to get something awful than have somebody shove a digit up my bum. Don't be saying no to me.
No, Tommy.
Let me finish.
No, that's wrong. You're wrong.
Well, let him speak.
Wrong.
Let him speak.
Wrong
order. We won't have that in here. Tommy Tiernan, speak.
No.
Finger up the bum. Your point, please.
Right or wrong, that's what's happening. But my wife said to me that women are just more used to being poked at.
That to be poked and prodded is all part of being a woman. You go in and there's something wrong with the undercarriage and stick it up and have a look at it and get it up there on the screen. Ah, oh, lucky, I say you have a cyst now. I need to get it sucked out.
Sucked out.
You know what I mean?
But
anyway, so I don't know how, back to your nose.
No, but the camera thing, like,
oh, yeah.
The worst part of getting that camera thing is when they make you take the stuff like radio emulsion beforehand, the night before.
What do you take?
They give you a sachet of stuff that you have to drink with water.
You're fasting as well, were you fasting?
Maybe that's what Hector's mother was doing. She was filling the three boys with this liquid of an evening, and then when they were fast asleep, she was sending a film crew in their bodies.
It's in the middle of the 80s.
His own Truman Show.
I'm in here, by the way.
I'm coming in. No, go back there now. So the camera up the nose.
You put the camera up and he said, oh, at the time.
Were you conscious now looking at the screen going?
He just sprayed something up my nose.
But you see, can I just say, when you enter the nasal passage here, you go straight up inside the cranium, up by the pituitary. It's quite easy access. It's only a couple of millimetres to the edge of the brain. So what were you looking at?
Well, I just saw nose hair.
Yes.
Up there, you know, and then...
It wouldn't be really hair, it's more like little...
Little tiny things.
Was it like a hidden world, a land that time forgot?
Yeah. And there was...
Were there snots up there that will never see the light of day?
Thankfully, there was nothing else there.
Nothing malignant.
But there was an infection, he said, and he put me on antibiotics for like a month. No, he put me on antibiotics for like 6 weeks, right? To see if it cleared. Anyway, it didn't work. So, but I think I just have developed...
Do you want to get a bit of that into you now?
No, I don't. Sure,
you need
I don't.
A little spark of it, a little hit of it. No, do you want a little?
I'm breathing easy now. I used it before I came, but it's weird. And then sometimes if I lie on, like, say, my left side, then that other side will get unblocked.
Anything like this in the family, Loretta?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Your mother, your grandmother, your great granny.
It's not really like a thing you go discuss with someone. Oh, do you have a blocked nose?
Yeah.
Really?
It sounds like to be on that level of medication.
And then I said to the doctor, I was like, I don't take cocaine or anything. Because, you know, you think maybe you get that stuff from...
Why did you think you had to say that
to him? I don't
know,
because I was thinking, what is it like? It's not... Because I had to keep going back to him, you know, when he wasn't even...
You didn't say it to him, I don't take cocaine.
Yeah, and then I thought afterwards, for fuck's sake, now everyone thinks you do take it.
Yeah. Sure.
That's one of the signs of taking it, is saying you don't take it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, why did I even say that?
That's what doctors watch out for. They have a little...
So he's marking.
I don't take it.
Book,
yeah, I don't take
I've
it.
I've never put it up my nose.
Yeah.
Never. All I've ever put up my nose was nose spray and the camera, but I didn't put that up myself.
Have you never got the finger up the bum, Tom, for the prostate?
Never, no.
And you know it's not that bad.
Oh, but this
don't happen. We
lie you. I can do it here. There's a couch here. And you know, Tommy, I like the medicinal
stuff.
Put
this biro up and we'll try.
No, it's very simple.
No, I'm not doing it.
We can lie in his side. His buttocks are relaxed.
So you're telling me.
I'll footer around. I'm up we go. We get a glove. And we'll foot around.
You wouldn't even know what you were looking for.
But sure, I'm looking for something hard up there.
What do you mean you're looking for something
lads,
hard?
Lads, it's very easily done. I've had it done 3 or 4 times in the last 5 years.
He's back every week to get head on. We just
lie on your side.
Lads, I was talking to him.
And there's no deep breath or nothing. You just lie on your side. He just
lie
goes.
Lie on your side and go.
And here we go. And it feels as if somebody is in with a little sponge and he's there going, I don't. I've never had that feeling before.
Well,
and then it's out.
And then you're, well, look, Donal, I know you checked last week, but just to make sure, to be sure.
Tommy, I'm going to say it. And you might say, no.
I'm not getting it done, Hector.
I'll say to you, lie on your side, big deep breath. If you drove a bar through your nipple, you can get a little prod of a middle finger up your hole.
No, I don't want the doctor kneeling down behind me.
He's not going to kneel. He's going to lie on your
side.
It's
a lady doctor.
He's not going to kneel down.
It's not a lady doctor. You're going to a man doctor for that.
It's a lady doctor.
Tommy, you don't go to a lady doctor to get the prostate.
That's the only one that's available for
you. You go to a man who'll put his finger up your hole.
It's a lady that does it.
We have to get smear
What's
tests
her name?
Regularly.
Doctor what? Doctor Prendergast.
I can't give you her name because
what do you call her? Doctor. Avril? Is it Avril?
I'm not telling you her name because I don't want to be talking about her on this. But
Loretta,
she's a lady
should
doctor.
He go and get his prostate checked
by a lady?
Prostate.
Prostrate is when you stand up, is it?
No, it's when you're lying down.
All right. Anyway,
prostrated.
You should definitely get it. It'll take you 30 seconds.
30 seconds, Tommy.
Okay, the thing itself might take 30 seconds, but there'd be a week of anxiety beforehand.
Oh, and then you have to take the stuff that clears you out beforehand.
Oh, what? Some sort of a laxative?
You have to take this laxative.
No, you don't. That's only the hooly-hooly.
But
I say as a friend here?
Just don't try and convince me. Nothing.
Tommy, will bring you.
No, you won't.
We will. We'll do an excursion. We'll do a live podcast from the surgery as he just lies on his side, and we just
not happening.
And we all stand in a queue like I used to on a Saturday night at the bat, and we'll all put this gloves on. Right, Tommy.
And I tell you what, I'm not the
right, Tommy. Away we go. Now it's all over.
I'm not the only one, because I've said it to a couple of male friends of mine, and we're all nodded in agreement, looking down at the ground.
Well, this is bad.
That reminds me of something.
You can't do this. This is not a good situation to be in.
What do you mean?
You have to be tested.
You're
for
right, Dr. Larita.
You don't.
Tommy. What if you get it?
I've a mate.
I'd rather get it than have that lovely lady doctor stick her digit up me fundament.
But she's going to do it for 30 seconds and see if there's
anything like
there.
Like I said, it's the 3 weeks of anxiety beforehand.
Well, your wife should book you in for to get something out of your ear. And then
I was talking to... get something out of my ear and then plow into me with no notice. With no notice.
Yes.
Narita.
Just go in and maybe to get the hairs in my ear checked and all of a sudden... Their pants are wrapped around my ankles and the thumb is...
That's the only way.
But he has no problem throwing in those pharmaceutical tablets straight down the gob. But he won't let anyone up through the magic temple.
The magic door.
The McGillicuddy Reek.
Ain't happening, brothers.
The Khyber Pass.
Well, I have a problem with this and we need
the Battle of Klondike.
We are not moving on until you have
the Boyne. The Boyne Valley, Tommy. Up the Boyne Valley.
Women have to have this
I'm not
smear
a woman.
Test.
And up the Hill of Tara.
What?
It's the smear test is worse, but you have to have it. Yeah,
just,
that's it.
But just because you have it doesn't mean I have to have it.
You do.
Why?
No, but Tommy, it's for your general health. Come on.
I mean, have you ever... Look, I've been to the gym 4 times a week. Have you ever seen me looking, apart from the beard and the hair at the side of my head coming out the ears, have you ever seen me looking healthier?
Well, now that you've said you're at the gym, you're looking brilliant.
See, I don't need it. I don't need fingers up my hole. I just need weights. I'll be grand.
What if you had to get a suppository put up there because you were in severe pain and a doctor came with a pair of gloves on and his two fingers here and he went...
I was with a fellow one time, the lead singer of a punk Irish band who got me addicted to morphine suppositories, and I was on them for a year. I was on them for a year and a half.
And where were you putting them?
Where would you think you put
morphine
And was
he putting them up there for
and you?
You
have no problem shoving that up it.
It's a lovely little hit. It's like falling through... It's like falling through a bed of feathers. It's beautiful.
And
it takes about 20.
And how would you pull
it? Did you do it yourself?
What would you do?
It takes about 25 minutes and you'd be out of a town and then you'd shove a few of these boys up your cracker and then about 45 minutes
above in the hotel room, Tommy.
Then 45 minutes later you'd be saying to a friend of yours, I can't feel my legs.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. Your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to the Tommy and Hector podcast with Larita Blewett. Thank you all for subscribing and I hope wherever you listen to it, you're enjoying it every week from the hen shed.
The hen house.
The hen house.
Sorry, I'm just eating a bit of
conversations
chocolate
conversations.
Gets awful anxious. If you make any movements on the table, Tommy starts freaking out.
Jesus. Can you just say...
Could you imagine being fucking married to him?
Just in terms of sponsorship for the show.
I have an itchy hole. We have a bit of a rash.
We in no way condone the theft of
morphine
from the terminally ill.
But what we are saying is...
Just to clarify.
What we are saying is...
We are saying...
It's a lovely little hit.
And what we are saying is, never be afraid of the little finger up the bum.
Yes.
Men of the world.
Men of the world.
No, and we're not going back into it now.
No,
it's done.
Forget about it now because he's not going to do it.
Remind me. I tell you one thing. You got that phrase right.
Remind me.
We're not going back into it.
I'm in here now. I'm in here, by the way. And we're going in. I was in Brough in County Limerick. I was doing a Hangin' with Hector years and years ago. I had a series called Hangin' with Hector. And we went to New York on one of them. And it was different people I wanted to hang around with, go into their worlds. And it happened that Tommy was gigging in New York. So we flew to New York for a week. But one of them was with John Kenny from The Unbelievables. So we were hanging around. Great man. A lovely, lovely, brilliant, mighty Irish man. And I saw a different side to him. And he was just he was unwell, and then he was in remission. And he, that year after, we did a Hangin' with Hector with John, and obviously Pat Short of The Unbelievable. So I hung around with John Kenny for a week round Limerick and Tipperary, and we went over to JP McManus's stud farm. We saw Istabrack, and I saw JP's house, and we saw the great horses there. And he said, come on, we'll go down to the mart. We went to the mart. He says, now I want to bring you to Brough in County Limerick, about 20 miles outside the city. He says, you'd love this place.
Was it a bar you went to? Am I remembering this right?
We went for a day in Brough and a night. And during the day with the film, and he said, now I want to bring you into a butcher's here because you like this guy. He thinks he's Elvis Presley. So we walked into a butcher's in Brough on the main street, and the man goes, oh, and brilliant, started singing a load of Elvis, and he was talking to the customers, doing Elvis songs, and he was fucking brilliant doing pork chops and would you like a bit of this, and then he sang Suspicious Minds, and it was just this mad country stuff. And I was there to John, this is where you got a lot of your humour, and he was there, yeah, this is a really good town. There was a picture of the Bull, what was his name that played for Munster, the Bull, Hayes. Yeah. Massive mural, Welcome to Brough, and it's a real country rugby town, very proud, agricultural. And he says, come on, we'll go in for an afternoon pint in a place called Mary Howard's. So we went in there and I started having a few pints. And this is a lovely, you'll see it on the main street in Brough, Mary Harris. Cut a long story short, we had about 7 pints of stout.
And did you have to keep recording after?
Ah, should we threw away the cameras and put them into a car. And next minute, Mary was throwing up pints and it was beautiful. And he says, I'm going to bring you into a house next door. You'll love it. I says, there's no, he says, it's a pub. I said, but it looks like a house. He goes, no, it's a pub. Do you know these country towns?
Oh yeah,
country
there towns. Be more and more of those.
There used to be one of them opposite the hospital in Galway. It looked like the front of a house.
Oh, really?
But it was a bar inside in it.
You had to give a special knock.
Where was that?
I think it's where, is it where the Riverside is now?
Oh, yes.
There used to be a house, I can't remember, and they'd serve you well late into the night. You'd knock on the door and you'd be shown into the hall, and then there could be 25 Marxist, Leninist, political scientist students in the front room. 14 young ones doing arts from Carlo. In the back room, and then a couple of salmon snatchers, then in the hall,
and drinking. So I says, and we were getting giddy. We're in Mary Howard's, and hello to everyone in Brough and anyone from that area. You know Mary Howard's. He said, come in here and watch this. So we went next door, and we were nicely on it now. And he went, and we walked in to this sitting room with a bar in it. And there was an old woman, and I swear to you, she was in her 70s in behind. There was no ice, there was no very few glasses, no taps, bottles of porter, whiskey, simple. The odd bottle of Heineken, dust everywhere, fusty, dusty, real old school. And there was a Kalar Cozen gas heater with the three bars going well. And I sat in and go, and then John goes, how are you? And he goes, you're going to love this place. And the old woman came down. She was in her, and she was brilliant. She was serving us away, and we had a couple of whiskies. And I'm not joking. I said, what is this place? I can't think of the name. And he said, yeah, I love this place. It only opens in the even time, the odd day, if she's in the humour. And I said, and he went, and then I spotted another man came in from the back door. He says, that's the brother over there. That's the brother. And I says, yeah, what age is he? Oh, he's well into his 80s. I'll tell you a good one about him, says John Kenny. He went upstairs in 1975. He didn't come down till last year. I've never laughed so much. What a statement.
He took to the bed.
He took to the upstairs.
That's a great Irish phrase.
I bet you he never had a doctor's finger shut up.
He went passage. Up and he only came down last year. Well, I'm coming from one of the half of the Unbelievables. It was but I'm just thinking there of those country towns,
yeah.
Those brilliant pubs, those places of pilgrimage and of almost hidden in our streets that are not there anymore. And it'll never be there anymore. And since lockdown, and I know...
I think there's going to be more of those pubs now. You know?
What were they called in New York? Yeah. The speakeasies.
Oh, speakeasies.
There's our Irish speakeasy. I mean,
I went into one in, I think it was Bordeaux in France, and there was a restaurant out the front, and there was a big old grandfather clock at the back, where you thought was the end of the restaurant, thought it was the toilets. There was a speakeasy bar in the back. You had to go around the clock and in the door and...
We didn't have any bar like that in Navan. Henry Lockwood.
They're nice though, aren't they? I remember secret bars.
I was in a bar in somewhere in North Cork, and the front of it was a hardware store, and
oh, I love those.
And
ones.
A bar.
They're the best.
And the back of them was a kind of like a lounge area. But I thought
there's one of those like in Strokestown.
They had hacksaws, machetes, hammers for sale, and then underneath that, whiskey, vodka, tequila. You know what I mean? Yeah. See some lad going up to the bar, I have a double Jameson and an axe.
Have you any axes?
And whatever happens, happens.
See, they're a great little distraction because you can go, oh, I need to pop up to the shop for milk. So you
for
order,
an axe.
You order ham.
Fire lighters.
Fire lighters and a pint of milk or, you know, a litre of milk. And then you go in the back. And you have your...
There's a few still in Dingle.
What would the wife say if you said, I just have to pop out for a claw hammer?
We've no milk. There'll be blood tonight. Where would a man get a machete at this hour of the night?
Burn this place with zip fire lighters.
Ropes.
Fuck ye. Fuck the lolly. Two Jamesons there, Pat. And a fucking blowtorch. Cunts. I've had enough of you! Right, you'll have a glass of Guinness there, will you, Sean? Good for everyone in the fucking pump before I burn the fucking house down!
Wouldn't you love if somebody came into your local bar and did that? And you said that
no,
2 weeks
ago. No, you would not want someone to come into your local bar and say, can I have a blowtorch?
No. But 2 weeks ago on the podcast or whatever, he said, I was in a pub and they were all talking about the weather and they're all talking. And then he went, what do you think if they had some big conversations about the...
Don't bring it up again.
No, but imagine saying, I've got to buy all a fucking drink in here before I burn the fuck out of me car. Because I fucking hate Fords. They're cunts. Transmission is gone again. Cunt. Buy a... You'd love madness
we
like
need
that.
To open. I think we need to open a window in here.
Wouldn't you just... I mean, I went into a bar in Barcelona for my brother's 40th.
Hola,
mi amigos. ¿Cómo estáis? There was about 12 of us and we were on in Barcelona. And I went into this place and you know what it was? And I'll never forget it. There were headphones hanging out over the counter. There was no music being played. There was about 50 really quality headphones hanging out over the counter. And you stood at the counter and then he had every record you ever wanted. And he said, what do you want? I said, are you serious? I said, Metallica, Black Album. And he goes, Metallica, claro que sí, chaval. And then we're all there going, doce cervezas, por favor. And we're all there with beers. And next minute, we pull them down with a lovely little wire, elasticy wire. On goes the headphones. All listen to
like
The Unforgiven.
Like a silent disco or something.
And then we order different albums. Yeah, like a silent disco. And we're standing at the bar.
How bloody weird is that?
It was just a different bar.
That sounds great.
But different bars. Different fucking bars.
Oh, yeah. We need some...
I mean, look at the bar I was talking about in Brough and the bar he was on about. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for something different.
I love those little ones with the little shop at the front. They're
There was a place called Fox's Bar in Navan that Foxes. I used to frequent at the bottom of Flower Hill.
And Tommy, one of the Foxes passed away recently and we've sent our condolences as well. I got a text from, I think, Liam Fox.
Yeah.
And hello to everyone in Navan, by the way. Listen to the podcast.
So Fox's was it? A pool table and class. A shop at the front.
On the hill.
Yeah, and then a bar at the back. It was a fantastic place.
And they're always
and
so...
And Flippins used to come in. Flippins
Shacky.
Did he swallow a golf ball?
He put a cue ball in his mouth. He'd no teeth and he'd come in and be like, fuck off, Flippins, don't be acting up. And he'd put the cue ball in his mouth. Ah, fuck you, Flippins.
Flippins Sharky.
And then, as Dylan Moran would say, he said, then he'd leave the pub and he'd go out into Flower Hill and he'd direct the traffic with his arse.
Was a great name, Flippins.
Stop.
So one thing is, because I don't have doubts about myself as a father. My father was kind of that queer cross between strict and free. Do you know what I mean? Like any time I'd encounter him, he'd often be strict with me, But at the same time, I was given awful freedom at the same time, do you know? But it's like his only way of dealing with me was through strictness, but he didn't always deal with me.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So it was just extreme if he had to deal with you.
It was just kind of, I'm not like him at all. And I think that kind of, he didn't know how to handle me. I had no interest in the things that he had interest in. And he found it difficult. But anyway, so I'd often question my own fathering, you know, and go, am I being too hard? Am I being too this and too that? One of my young fellas, he eats with the knife and the fork in the other hand. He's not left-handed. He's right-handed.
Right.
Okay? But he eats with the knife in the left hand and the fork in the right hand.
Right.
Now, does that make any fucking difference whatsoever? So what he used to do was he'd hold the food in place with the knife.
Yeah.
And he'd go pulling it apart.
With the fork.
With the fork. Mm. And I'd switch over. Switch over. This is the way I want to do it. Like he's 39.
I was just going to say.
See, this is the way I want to do it. And I said, no, that's not the way you do it. You hold it with the fork and you cut it with the knife. Your right hand is your strong hand. Use that for cutting. And then I started thinking to myself, what am I at?
That's just micromanaging.
Just let,
just
off,
let
Tommy.
The child eat whatever the way he wants to eat. And I was thinking of people like Picasso would have grown up with free. If an artist was sitting at a table and an artist believes in freedom of expression, yeah, and, you know, that the instead of having a closed in mind, open or wide to fuck and see whatever flies through you, you're not going to be telling a child you're holding the knife and fork in the wrong hand. But even last night I was doing it.
You were like a teacher years ago that used to let kids write with their right left hand.
That was bet out of them back and bet out of them.
So how are you with, like, do you get intricate with stuff? With
the, I just
with
think, I've lefties. I've lefties in me house.
Kit dogs,
they're
okay.
All kit dogs.
So did it happen?
But they write with their right hand.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't seen their handwriting because kids don't write anymore, or teenagers certainly don't write. But they're lefty on the pitch.
Beautiful.
Sitting down, Tommy, what brings you to be looking at their paws when they're eating?
Because we've a round table. That was one of the best things we ever bought.
Why?
Because we're all, it's democratic.
Intimate.
We're all sitting looking at each other.
Oh yeah, there's nobody at the top.
We don't have a round. We've a long Henry VIII.
Yeah.
I'd be above at the top and about 19 foot away, the boys are at the bottom.
Yeah.
I try and alternate the table placings as well, just to put a bit of...
With a bit of jizz in it.
And when I come down, I say, that's yours there. Shane, you're there. Reen, you're there. And Mom, you're here. And then we sit in. But no, I've one lad.
Am I too tight?
No, but Tommy, I've a lad that eats his food like a hyena.
I do.
Like on the plains of the Serengeti at a carcass. Shane, the youngest lad, he'll wolf it. Wolfy. We're all there. We're only after just getting our butter and pepper into the flowery spuds. And there's your man. Gone. Fortnight.
Hasn't time to eat.
Fortnight.
I eat very fast.
He wolfs
food.
It down. And as a father, I'd be there going, you slow down. Slow down. And then his mother.
You'll not leave the table until we're all finished.
And then his brother goes, you slow it down. You slow it down. And then obviously the mums of Ireland are always half an hour later.
Hmm.
Aren't they? Aren't they? The women of Ireland they're still munching at 7:10.
Ah, you're joking me, not in our house.
The food is on the table at 6:30, 7:10.
What sort of sound effects are
they
you
are,
doing?
They are, they are.
She have a spud stuck in her throat.
Do you change the placings or do you sit at the same part?
Do you have names? Like, how do you mean change the placings?
Like, do you say you sit there because I know what my children...
Just sit wherever they want.
No, but when you know what they're eating. Yeah. They're all eating a different amount of this. He doesn't like
people
broccoli.
People their favourite chairs.
They don't like peas. You don't like carrots. He doesn't like this. Ah. He doesn't like any sauce in that. He doesn't like the skin in his potatoes. He has to get it mashed.
He doesn't like
milk. He likes my waddy. That's what it is for us.
I'm interested to hear your parenting skills or your, like...
Or lack of them.
Well, when we were kids, like, as you talked about your father there, your father really had very little to do with you, like. Very little to do with you other than maybe bring you to a football match or... But he was outside working or got... Like, he wasn't involved in day-to-day things. Like, you said you went to the doctor with your son as well.
That was a lie.
Alright.
I bring me young lads.
That was just
to the
a storytelling technique there.
Yeah, I understand you might have to bring them to the doctor but like would you'd be very involved in their day to day lives. But would your father weren't
I've been at the birth of all my children and I said to my father, were you ever at any of our births?
No.
And he says, shut the fuck up, Tom. you fool. You fucking idiot.
But that's it now.
Don't ever say
stupid stuff like that again. I was out looking at a calf out in Beliver. But you're on about the way we parent our or the way fathers are now. Should we fucking do everything? Everything in the house is done by daddy.
Daddy. What? Like
well,
what?
You are. You cook and everything, don't you?
I don't mind that. I love getting.
Can you cook?
I can do a sausage and apple bake, and I do.
Tommy, you're good around the house.
A sweet potato and quinoa surprise. And at the start of lockdown, I went out hammer and tongs until about 2 weeks later, the kid says,
oh, no! Quinoa! Not more fucking quinoa! Oh, surprise, surprise! Guess what it is? Fucking quinoa!
I never know how to pronounce that. Now I do. Quinoa.
Oh, yeah.
So I stopped. I don't do a fierce amount of time.
Is the apple
and sausage surprise, is that a...
It's a bake.
Oh, bake. Is that a sweet treat or would that be a dinner?
It's a dinner, but I made the fatal mistake of putting about 3 or 4 solid lengths of chorizo into it. And it just...
Oh, blew the head off them.
Oh, not at all. It's just the amount of grease that comes out of chorizo. Oh, you wouldn't be up to it.
Chewing it like...
No, grease.
Oh, yeah.
I know, Tommy, that's not grease. That's that lovely red juice
oil.
Out of it.
Oil.
From the pig. Your pig.
Not at all. It was like radio mulching.
I saw something on the television the other day. We are sponsored by radio mulching. There was an experiment on the telly. Do you notice this? Do you cook sausages? Fry sausages. Do you fry sausages?
I grill me sausages.
Do you fry them?
I don't cook in the house.
Apparently,
really.
The sizzle has been removed from sausages. Years ago, it used to be...
The Cookstown sizzle.
The real, real sizzly sausages. Do you know why? Because now people want a higher percentage of meat in their sausages.
Mm.
Years ago, there used to be a lot of fat.
And the fat is the thing that's tasty.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what makes them sizzle.
Yeah, but you can check in the back of your sausage.
I always get sausage. 80% has to be.
Yeah, there's very few that have over 80% pork if you look at the back of the product. Yeah. Pork.
I wouldn't eat pork.
I love pork and I love pork chops.
A big pork belly is great.
And I love lamb chops up me. And I'd say to the lads, put down your knife and fork and get them up into your hand and get in at the back of the bone and I'd eat it like my father.
Suck on it.
And do you see no connection between the chop in your hand and the lamb in the field?
I used to, but not anymore. No,
really? The poor crater, like the poor lovely little lamb in your eight.
No, they smell no, like no. Connemara spring lamb, Lord.
It doesn't matter where he's from, he's still a lamb.
Eating lovely sweet herbs and sweet meat. Give me.
Do you not eat meat? I don't eat lamb. And I try not to eat meat. I'd love a bit of steak every now and again, but I try not to eat it. If I was given the choice, I wouldn't eat it.
My lads know their Hereford, they know their sirloin steak and strip line. This is no lie. The young lad had football training there a couple of weeks ago during lockdown. And I don't know what was happening. It was one of the first sessions. I was out doing something. Dipna, my wife, was out doing something. We walked in. Dipna walked into the kitchen. 6 o'clock. He's training at 7:15. The pan was in full flight. He had the broccoli, the onions and the steak in the pan and he served it up to himself. He fried the broccoli and he fried the onions and he fried a slab of sirloin. He's just 14 years of age.
Wow.
And I said to him, God, my boy, once you get into first year in university, you'll have them round your fucking finger. There'll be boys in the house going, what's for dinner, boys? Shh. And then there'll be young ones coming over to the house going, I'll just rattle up some sautéed broccoli, some onion and some steak with the wine. Make yourself comfortable there. There'll be no flies.
And he was training at 7 o'clock.
This is the same lad that as a 10-year-old hung a clothesline across his room and put all his jerseys on it when we're drying above in his bedroom. I just said to
good
him,
lad.
These are life skills. Mm. Brilliant life skills.
You're a good father.
You're good, yeah.
You're tribal. Like I can see the pride and the love you have for your boys.
Those little things make me happy. When I see little things like that, I know that I'm happy inside.
Yes.
That I'm happy that they're going to be like that.
Yeah.
Because they are, all your children are built from you and they will take the little bit of something from you. And Tommy, it's the same thing with your boys.
Ah, no, I'm a disaster of a father. But no, I have a question for you.
I am a disaster. No, Tom.
I don't know how to father. My father didn't know how to father and his father before him didn't know how to father. All the Tiernan's going back. We have no idea how
Kevin
to father.
Kevin Tiernan was a great father.
Ah,
Kevin Tiernan is a great father.
Kevin Tierney, he's sound enough.
Kevin now. There's a book you can buy, and it's funny that when you have children, you go into Easons, and we've all done this. And there's a book.
And rob stuff.
What to expect when you're expecting. And there's this book sell millions every year. And you all bring it home and you sit on your couch. What to expect in the expecting. Here I'm on chapter 3 and the husband, and you're going to be daddy for the first time. What to expect. Then you get what to expect in the first year. Then you get what to expect when they're toddler. And it's all a load of bollocks.
I never read any of them books.
No book in the world can tell you what it's like.
What a disaster of
you're going to be.
Tell them the truth, Tom.
I'm a disaster of a father, and I'll say it straight out. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going round from day to day like a fella who's turned up for an exam only to be told that morning what the exam is. Do you know what I mean? But I have a question for you. Do you ever think about what we might have been like to have a daughter? That would ever gone through your head? Because yeah, you're great with the boys. Because
I often wonder. And it's funny.
What would you have called her?
I'll just say this on the boys thing. We have 8 grandchildren in the family. And there's 8 boys.
We've a long line of boys.
Boys. There's only one girl, Asta. She's in Denmark on my brother's side. But all the Clare side. Buys and buys and more fucking buys to hull for Christine.
Oh,
they'll hull for Christine in Bearfield.
But tell me, did you ever think about a daughter?
We did, yeah. But
we did. Like you could buy one. Yeah. I mean,
we looked at it there for a while.
Yeah, I seen this little
on
one
the
on,
internet
on an ad for Gorta. did you ever think about what it might be like to have a daughter?
See, Tommy. I suppose we had the two boys in rapid succession. There's 13 months between them, yeah. And
you're a great father for them. Great father for them, you're wide to what they.
I'd love.
You're wide to what young fellows are going through.
I'm pure wide.
But would you ever think it now for a little? What would you have called a little girlene? Corch.
No, it would be Oscar. It would be a lovely one.
Brigid.
She'd have to be knee, wouldn't
no,
she?
No.
Brigid. Brigid the Hubble.
Sive. Sive. Nivrin the light. Sive ni yuchagon.
That sounds good.
Oh yeah.
And what would she look like, Hector?
Oh, she'd look like half the hothouse flowers, half Mary Coughlin, and half a supermodel.
Oh.
Would she be a singer?
Would you
be taking her for walks down Shop Street? Your little girl. And you'd be...
No, I walk down Shop Street with me boys in their tracksuits.
They wouldn't bring
and
her
And they down. Go, we're going to JD Sports. I'll be back in half an hour. How much have you? €370 on me, Dad. Fuck me, where'd you get that? I fucking saved it. I'm going to go down now and buy a pair of Nikes. €370, and now they're up on this fucking done deal secondhand website for kids.
You're telling me that they buy them and sell them?
Yeah, it's this thing called Depop.
Depop, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's just, that's teenage. But Loretta, you brought in this conversation about fathering. There's no secret to this. It's a maze.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening to the... What is it called again? What is it called?
Let's give you an abbreviation.
The Tommy and Hector Show.
Thanks
for subscribing.
The Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Bluett, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Good luck.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.